Well, he needs no introduction, yet he handed me his resume. It's about 4 pages thick. This is Dan McLaughlin, the guest on the program.
On your show.
On my show. Dan, I've always wanted to have you on the show. I think I've been on your show, but we call it like the two of us. What is it, Locked In or Monday?
Locked In. We had
Mondays Without Mo.
Which, good talk.
Good talk, which, by the way, Mozalek yesterday says, oh, Martin's here, front runner. I'm like, Mo, I've been here all year.
Said that to you?
Yeah, and I said, I was here before you guys were making trades and actually acted like you wanted to win.
No, you said that to him.
I bet you did. Muttered that. No, we had a fun exchange. But, Dan, it's great to be
here. What was the exchange like?
I swore at him.
Candidly.
I did. I said, I don't have time for this shit. Let me know when you clinch. And I turned around and walked away, and the cat goes, yeah, that's Martin. Yep.
Did you really do that?
I 100% said that.
That's awesome.
Because we were just having fun, and he's giving me a hard time. And I said, this is what happens in hockey. Kelly Chase, for how many years, was the Blues radio guy. And right around playoff time.
Oh, now you show up.
Yeah, but he's like, yeah, what'd you need? Directions? Did you call Caruso to see how to get down here? Every year, I'm like, Jason.
Every team feels like they're getting slighted with coverage. You know that.
And Mo is kidding. He sees me more than he wants to see me. And I make it a point to be down at the ballpark all year. I'm not buddies with the players, but I think it's important to be seen somewhat so they kind of, even if they loosely know who you are,
yes,
it's helpful as a team advances or if they're in the postseason.
Yeah, they see your face. They know that you're around, good, bad, and different.
And the cat yesterday said, can I ask you something, Martin? You're a TV veteran. He said, why do you wear your media pass around your neck? Like, people put it around their waist or whatever, so it's not obtrusive. And I said, I don't wear it on the air, but in the clubhouse, I do wear it in case, like, let's say a Lars Nootbaar is, like, doing the interview, and he's like, I don't know who this guy. They will look down. I see them look down.
Yeah, to find out who it
is. And kind of, who do you work for? I think it's helpful if they don't know who you are.
By the way, it brings me to a very stressful day that I had yesterday. I lost both my passes to get into the stadium and around the stadium, and also my media pass. First time I've ever done that.
Now tell me you don't. Are you talking about like a swipe card to get you in?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's different. Nobody's going to stop.
No, the media pass, though, you need it.
So it's like a requirement.
Every single day I get checked. Every day. And that's fine. I don't care. They're doing their job. That's fine. But I lost it, and it became a very stressful time. I was on my way down. I'm running around as. You know, I got 4 kids. You got kids. Young kids. We're always running around. I'm trying to get back in the swing of it after the off day. And I went looking. I always put it in the same spot in my bag. I reach down there. I'm like, oh, no, where is it? Oh, it's got to be in here, this, that, and the other. I don't know where it is. It's probably in Pittsburgh. But then I was on the phone. I had to call the media people, call security people. Very stressful in what should be a non-stressful position, Martin.
It's unbelievable. I'm glad to know. It's like when Tom Brady visited the Hall of Fame last year in Canton. They showed him, and he was wearing a credential. I go, oh, I feel better. Tom Brady has to wear a credential. Last Thursday, the game that took forever, the previous Wainwright-Molina game, was like a 4-hour game or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So you guys were flying out of there to Cincinnati. No, where'd you go? Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, one of those. And I'm sitting there waiting for the game to end. I'm complaining how long it takes. And then they open the clubhouse, so I'm like ready to do my job, get some interviews. Molina had homered twice. We know he's going to talk. I get to the door at the clubhouse, didn't have my mask, because reporters are still required to. And I'm like, son of a gun. And Brian Bartow's like, you need a little help, Aaron? And I said, I got this bag, and I can't find it. It's like my purse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't find anything in here. And B-Man's like, I'll go get you a mask. And I find it, and I'm like, I sat there and complained. This damn game just needs to end. And then when it did, I wasn't prepared.
You weren't prepared.
No.
I have now a temporary pass to get me in for the homestand. I have my Cardinals credential that will allow me to get into the ballpark. However, I need to pay $75 to get a new media pass. So that's what I'll be doing today once we finish this epic interview up and getting my my credential to make sure I can go cover Cardinal baseball.
Wow.
In year 25.
I would not have ever thought.
Yeah.
Tell me Edmonds doesn't have a credential. There's no way.
No, he does.
Really?
Well, the security
Jimmy saying, it's me, Jimmy, open the door. And it's like, it's a swipe card.
I'm not saying that hasn't happened. You asked if he had one. And he does.
What car did I bring today?
Oh, there's a story about that, but I can't get into that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the reason I wanted to talk to you, and
for having me on your show.
Well, you're welcome. It's great to have you, big time fan. You're not the first. This is not a first time guest. We've done segments, I believe, But this season, the way it's playing out now, and I guess we begin with where we are, which is Albert Pujols and the chase for 700. And the calls have been great. You've matched the moment. I don't know what the phrasing would be, but I'm wondering, do you feel any extra pressure because it is such a milestone pursuit?
No. I just feel that I don't want to screw it up. You know, make sure I have the right number, make sure I understand the scenario, the situation. Like a good example would be on Sunday when he hit the home run to right center and that gave the Cardinals a lead. Or does this one, if he hits it out, will it tie the game? You know what I mean?
Don't lose track of the game itself.
Right.
Because some of these have been really important for the game. You're right.
And well, five have been
right
crucial.
Yeah, because you don't want to just say, Albert, he's the man. It's like, well, I'm a Cardinal fan first. I want to know, oh, we're in the lead. That's bigger. You know?
So the difference is, though, so like the home run that he hit against the Cubs, the pinch hit home run at home, was I was more thinking, and I'm thankful that I thought of this. I'm like, man, if he hits, this is the last time he's ever going to face the Cubs. That has to be part of the story of whatever he does here. Grounds out, strikes out, flies out, hits a home run, it, regardless of what he does. But I didn't mention the score because on television, too, you got to remember, we're showing you everything. And now if I was on radio, I would have definitely said it's given the Cardinals the lead or whatever. And I mix it up with that. And if you ask me if I script calls, I never script a call. Never have, never will. It's got to come from the feeling that you have in the ballpark, the excitement of the moment, the excitement of the fans. And I've always considered myself a fan, and doing a hometown team, you're really a fan. So I try to convey that excitement. I'm probably over the top. I get that. But that's the way I am, that's the way I've been, and that's the way I always will be. Some people may not like it. Maybe they think it's too over the top. I don't. We're never going to see this stuff again, and that includes tonight with Yachty and Waino. It's a historic night, and this record will never be broken. Will somebody get to 700? Maybe. But this one tonight with Yachty and Waino will never, ever be broken. I mean, it's. I guarantee I will be in the grave or ashes, wherever I am, and you are, and nobody be even close to this. It just won't happen again. So I just try to make sure I get the moment right. I don't screw it up. And with doing all that, though, the excitement of me as a fan comes out. And I think that's what's been happening with the calls. I've always tried to be that way.
I think people think of you as a fan because you are. I mean, you're part of the team broadcast. You should be excited. I'm curious, do you ever hear from a player like, hey, I enjoyed that call?
Or yes.
About their particular home run, or maybe not Albert, but just anybody in general will come up and say things.
So the Chicago one, I got a text at like 9:30 at night before the Scoops with Danny Mac show, which airs on Fox 2 at 10:30. Gratuitous plug there, Martin.
I see it every Sunday.
Thank you.
I'm done at 10:29, and then here comes Dan into my living room.
Thank you. I get a text from Ollie Marmol, the manager, and he says, I've listened to your call no fewer than 700 times. I will continue to listen 700 more. It's amazing how you're capturing the moment, the history of what we're doing. And I thought that was just class. He doesn't have to do that. He's got way more important things to get to on his plate. And I've had other players come up to me and say, man, that is so awesome, and we're having so much fun, and you're conveying it. And that means a lot. I mean, when a player says that, when they have all the other things that are going on in their lives, to come up to you and say, hey, you've enhanced the enjoyment for all of us, that is the coolest thing. Fans, that's great too. Don't get me wrong. I work for the fans. But to have a player do that where they got everything else on their plate to come up and say that to you, that means a lot to me. It really does.
Very cool. And how about Ollie Marmol in his first year as a big league manager? He's got Albert Pujols about to have a milestone moment. Somebody, I believe it was a tweet, not an email, said, it's not a record. It's not. We didn't say it was a record. It's a significant milestone. Nobody says this is a record-breaking. Now, he's passing people. Somebody was splitting hairs. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to waste any time on this. But you have a milestone moment, and you have what's record-breaking, Wainwright and Molina. You have Goldschmidt contending for an MVP. You have a team
triple crown, too.
Or triple crown. I'm sorry, yeah, triple crown. Arenado's outstanding. And Ollie Marmol, I said to him the other day, I said, you have a front row seat. He said, trust me, I'm taking it all in. He said, I still got to do my job, but it has occurred to me the position I'm in. His first year, usually when you're a first-year manager at some crap team, you get a chance and they put you in charge. And
there's a reason you're a first-year manager.
And they're rebuilding. That's right. Hey, here you go. You knew some of these kids when they were coming up through the system. He is in a great position. And to his credit, I think they've used Albert perfectly.
I think he's done an unbelievable job. And I'm going to start pushing for him for manager of the year because of a lot of the circumstances you just mentioned. But they've kept Albert fresh for the most part. This is not the same player that we saw in the first half of this season, you know, especially against right-handers. Like right now, if I'm Ollie, and thank God I'm not, but I'm gonna play Albert probably every night that just about I can. Now, this will be a good test tonight when you got Corbin Burns, who in the first half of the season, there's no way this is a matchup you'd want with Albert. I don't know if there is a lefty on their bench that I'd go to prior to Albert because he's actually had better numbers against right-handed pitching than Nolan Gorman in the second half. So he's giving you a chance to win. They're not great at bats all the time, but he might walk into one and win you the game like he's done against right-handed pitching. So I think Ollie's played that great. I think he's done a really good job of trying to find rest for Arenado and Goldie. I think he's manipulated properly the DH and the matchups, and the top of his lineup has changed a lot depending on the matchup, righty, lefty, those kind of things. So you might see Donovan, you might see Edmund, you might see Dylan Carlson. There's so much that goes into that, and there's a pile of stack of papers that he can look at and then put the human element of being around the guys to say, who do I start tonight? I think he's been open and honest with his players to be able to make these decisions, which is not easy, especially as a young manager that did not play in the big leagues, to go out and take the ball from Dakota Hudson at times or go out and get Jordan Montgomery or whomever it might be.
Pinch hit for Pools earlier in the season.
Did that. And that's not an easy thing to do. But he's got really good personal relationships with these guys and really good personal skills to be able to get his message across and to get the best out of his team. And I think he deserves a ton of credit for where they're at right now. They haven't wrapped it up. They're in a great position. Stranger things have happened in baseball, obviously. But to manage all these juggling balls in the air, so to speak, he's done a really good job. The other thing I want to say, too, Martin, is I talked to Joe Strome yesterday, our buddy at the ticket office. And so last night there was 42,000 people on a Tuesday night in September. Tonight it's going to be it's going to be a madhouse. There's going to be 46, probably maybe 47,000 people. We've had two of the biggest crowds in the history of the ballpark already this year. And my point is that I'm not sure we're ever going to see a final month as good as we've seen it right now. So this is year 25 for me. I was doing games when McGuire was doing his thing, but this is way different because the team is good and you've got Albert going for 700. You got really good team to win and all the other things that we mentioned. It's all kind of coming full circle here to have this incredible storybook ending and finish. And I just don't think you're ever going to see that again in Major League Baseball. I really don't.
And I love how it just sort of organically happened. I mean, Albert coming back to the Cardinals was never really a topic. Even in March, they come back from the lockout, and the story goes, Ollie Marmol is talking to Albert, and Albert said to him, I'm in great shape. And he said, you want me to FaceTime? I'll show you. I'm in good shape. I'm ready. And they have a nice conversation. Then Ollie tells Mozeliak, hey, I just talked to Five. He's really ready. He wants – And then Mo's like, I guess I'll call him. And then it happens.
Within 24 hours, right. you got Albert.
And then it's like, well, this will be fun. You know, he gets to wrap up the career where it began. And end of June, he's got four home runs. I think two of them were in one game in Pittsburgh. So
against a position player in one of them.
Yeah, so nobody is even thinking it. I wonder if that all-star invite, you know, the national stage, and the home run derby, where a lot of players over the years hate the derby, it ruined their swing, et cetera. I think he came out of that like, oh, man, I can be the man one more time. It almost like that was one final jolt on a national stage. He came back possessed.
And it was a celebration of his career. I mean, he was really the focal point of the home run derby. I asked Mo about a week ago. I said, what is going on here with Albert? Like, what do you see? And he's like, well, our hitting people said he did this, that, and the other. I don't know. He said, but I do think he got a jolt from the All-Star game. And so I've said this, and I don't know if you agree with it. In terms of baseball, I'm not talking about all sports, but in terms of baseball, I've never seen a guy that's a bigger showman than Albert Pujols. Now, we saw him in the prime of his career when he had 10 consecutive years of driving in 100 and hitting 30 and all that kind of stuff and scoring 100. And it just seemed like if there was a big moment, he rose to the occasion. It was few and far between that he didn't. So now he goes out to the West Coast, and it's kind of an outpost, you know, in Anaheim on some late nights where no one's at the ballpark, the intensity isn't there. He's probably not glorified. I know that. I mean, he's not glorified like he is here. And he comes back here to where this is home, man, and this is a fan base that has embraced him, loved him, and vice versa. And I just think he feeds off of that. So when they signed him, I think you and I were doing a podcast. I said, there will be great moments with Albert. I don't know how many, but there's going to be some. And it could be just him on opening day, first time up, the standing ovation, the final at bat in St. Louis against Pittsburgh coming up in about 10 days or so, whatever the case may be. I think that he feeds off of that more than most, and he gets the juices flowing. And then you mix in the fact that he's just an incredibly cerebral player, understands his body, his swing, and what the opposition is trying to do to him, and it's a perfect storm that comes together for him to have this success. So it's been awesome to see. I'm so happy for him. I've never seen him this happy, Martin, ever. And I don't know what it's like post-game in the clubhouse. I can just tell you when he's on the buses or if I run into him at the team hotel or getting a coffee or something, I mean, he could not be any nicer to me. And it's not to say that he wasn't before. And I think we have to realize the pressure on him when he was in his prime was immense. He was the best player in the world, expected to put up massive numbers, and he put a lot of pressure on himself. And his time demands were being pulled at in a lot of different directions, whether it's foundation, whether it's just walking out of his house. Everybody wanted a piece of him. And now he's totally embraced it. I think I told you the story. We were in Boston, and there's 50 to 100 people waiting outside the bus. He gets on the bus. They're all cheering, Albert, Albert. He puts down his phone and goes out and takes a picture and signs everybody's item. I've never seen a pro athlete do that, much less a superstar and a future Hall of Famer. So he's embraced it, and I think the final weekend in St. Louis will be something we never, ever forget.
This came up on the radio the other day about how he seems to be enjoying this more than McGuire did, and I said, to be fair, the pressure on McGuire was there from day one. It was a season-long expectation that he would break this record, and so even when he got to 30 or 40, yep, you're on pace. I get that, and I think the scrutiny, the national coverage was there. Now Albert's getting national coverage, but during the bulk of the season, he was just a guy in St. Louis. It's nice that he's back there. So I don't think it's apples to apples, but it is significant that Albert is just, and it's not a record, it's a significant milestone. He seems at peace with whatever happens.
Like yes.
He would, I'm sure he'd love it, but he has said repeatedly, hey, we'll see if I get there. We'll see if it happens. I got to keep doing the same approach. But he does seem to be having a lot more fun than I've ever seen him.
I thought over the weekend, not the best at bat because he had two home runs that either tied it or won the game, but he had also a base hit on a pitch that was up near his shoulders in the other batter's box, and he takes it up the middle to drive in a run. And if you're going for a personal milestone of just trying to go up there and hit home runs, you don't swing at that pitch. You're going to take it and live another day. And he drives it up the middle and gets an RBI. That's winning baseball. And so that was a significant, in my opinion, at bat to show you that he is all about team. He's all about winning. And I do think he's going to get to 700. I was looking today. There's some lefties that are coming up, like Mike Minor of the Reds, maybe Lodolo of the Reds. You're looking at San Diego potentially having one. Maybe Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers if things keep going in the direction of – and they've won their division, so it depends on how they want to line up their pitching. But these are all ways that he could get in a lineup for sure against lefties and set this milestone. And I also believe that once he got to A-Rod, tied him and passed him, a lot of times his home runs come in bunches. And so don't be shocked to see something magnificent happen on this homestand. Nothing, I mean this sincerely, nothing shocks me with this guy anymore because you better be ready. He's going to do what you think he can't. He won't do and can't do, and he will.
And I appreciate the Cubs and then the Pirates pitching to him. Now, I know if it's the Brewers and first base is open, you probably walk him because you're worried about winning the game. And the Reds and Pirates, they want to win the game. But I think you say to your young pitcher, hey, this is your chance.
Get him I can't out. Believe the Cubs pitched to him.
Really?
I am shocked. And this was not about the
and I don't think they're trying to serve it up, but
nature of baseball, and no, they're not trying to serve it up. He said, I got this guy David Ross went out to talk about the situation, and Hughes said, I got this guy. And as a manager, if a play, sometimes you got to take the decision out of the player's hands.
And if the player's Kershaw, you say, sounds good.
But yeah. But if you feel like, hey, you know, and they're not going anywhere, I get it. And if maybe you're within a, you know, you're in the pennant race with them, you don't pitch to them. But I was just shocked that they pitched to him. I mean, you still have to, you can sit there and say, well, that was wonderful, and they gave him a moment, and it's great for the game of baseball. Yeah, that's all good and fine. But if I'm the Brewers, and I'm expecting David Ross, I'm expecting David Bell this weekend, I'm expecting Derek Shelton of the Pirates and all these different guys that are managers right now, for the essence of the game and the sport, to give the best effort to win for the other teams to try to catch the Cardinals. So I don't think that it was done out of just trying to be virtuous towards Albert and a home run record. I think he went out there, talked about the situation, looked in his pitcher's eyes and said, okay, I'm going to give you the shot. Let's go. And he got burned. I mean, it's that simple.
If the Cubs were a game back or tied for first, do you think he thinks it differently? I just feel like they know they're not contending at all, both teams, and they're thinking, all right, you know what? We're going to go after him. We're not going to try and serve it up. We're going to give a young guy a chance to get him out. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's no tragedy.
Well,
but
you also are finding out about your player. There is something to that. But I'm also trying to win the game. And if that means I have to walk Albert Pujols, I'll do it. But I also think that a lot of people look at Albert Pujols as being a 42-year-old guy, and they're not watching him every day like we are. Now, they can look at the numbers, and they can look at the recent 7 days and say, yeah, he's swinging the bat well. But I think a lot of people feel like, I can go at this guy and get him. And, again, when you think that is when he strikes. I've noticed, at least in my opinion, his bat speed here in the second half, like the barrel is getting through the zone. So the home run against the Cubs, there's a great side view of a non-game camera, and it might be from MLB Network or something like that, but it's from the third base dugout. It is a violent, vicious swing that he puts on that baseball. I mean, the bat gets through the zone, and the barrel to the ball is like, wow. I mean, you got to go back and look at it, Martin. It's awesome. I mean, it's just a pure, remarkable, beautiful swing, typical Albert Pujols, but there's a violence to it that takes the ball out of the ballpark for 436 feet or whatever it was. And I looked at that, and I actually rewound it a couple of times just to watch it, and I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, man, that's really – his bat speed is back. So sometimes I think it's not, but for the most part, I think it's been there, and he gives you a chance to win.
How about this, Dan? Okay, it's a historic moment. I'm ready, and I – and there's a swing and a drive to deep left. Move over, Pat Robertson. There's a new member of the 700 Club.
I think it would live on. I definitely think it would be one that would catch on for a while. I don't like that you do that. You know why? Because now I'm going to be thinking of that.
He's
at 699.
No.
And I'm going to say that.
It's a 700 Club joke about, wasn't it Pat Robertson's TV show?
Okay. But here's the other thing. It's like when you have a guy's name that might, if you missed a syllable, be one that you don't want to say.
Right.
For instance, Goldschmidt.
Sure.
Okay, you don't want to say the other way. Schmidt.
Right. Well, I know. Yeah, thank
okay.
you. Dan. I understand. Thank you for spelling it out.
So I'm giving you an example. And somebody says, hey, have you thought about this guy's like name like this? I'm like, why would you possibly say that?
Oh.
Don't say that. Brad does that to me all the time. And I said, don't do that to me. It's bad. So don't do that to
okay.
me.
Okay. I won't do that. Dan, you've been great on the calls. It's been fun. Let's keep it rolling.
I know you have some sponsors, too.
Oh, we're thinking sponsors. This is great. Yeah, the great folks at Triad Bank, the St. Louis-based bank since 2005.
We love Triad.
Find them on Clayton Road. I saw Jim Regnan and the team. They were over at the Ascension Charity Classic.
Did you go cover that much?
I was there Friday and Sunday. I was calling the 14th hole Triad Corner because that's where their suite was instead of Amen Corner. I was there Friday and Sunday. Weather turned out. They really got lucky. Now, I understand, and this will be a side note, our golf talk here, and Dan's been a great promoter of the Ascension Charity Classic. Saturday night, apparently, it rained so much just over Norwood Hills.
And really?
Nick Ragone and Steve Spratt, guys who were running the event, said it didn't rain at the airport, which is like a mile or 2 miles away. It just rained at Norwood Hills. Somebody in the clubhouse was showing me pictures of the sand traps, just like
full of water. Yeah.
And I guess the superintendent there, his team just got it all cleaned out, and they were talking about this after Padraig Harrington wins. And as he's getting ready to do media interviews, and they've been handing him the trophy, and there's a lot of pomp and circumstance, I see Padraig Harrington go over to this guy. I think his name was Mike. I apologize. I should know who it is because they mentioned him. And Harrington reaches his wallet, and I don't know if he had $500, $600, whatever he had in his wallet.
To the superintendent.
And handed it to him.
Oh, that's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. So
that's great.
The weather, I say it turned out great. For those guys, it was a lot of work Sunday morning getting it all cleaned up and ready to roll. But by the end of the day, it was
gorgeous,
70 degrees and a nice breeze, and it could not have been better. And Padraig Harrington is a great champion, a guy you've heard of. He's won majors before. I mean, I said to Nick Ragone, I said, you're two for two because what do you want? You want a great tournament where the weather's not an issue. You want a competitive leaderboard with names you've heard of. And then you want the champion to be a well-known golfer.
Yeah.
A guy who's won majors
and
before.
Great with the media, too.
And just friendly and nice and Padraig Harrington. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Triad Bank was out there. My buddies from B&G Tuck Pointing came out. They'd never been to a golf outing before. I got them some tickets to go. They loved it. They're the best in the brick stand. Talking about waterproofing, foundation repair, all your tuck pointing needs. It's bgtuckpointing.com. My guy Fred was out there from Marie Davila, Senior Living. He was out at the golf.
Well, you had a lot of comp tickets out, didn't you?
No. He had his own. He didn't need me. Triad didn't need me. Marie Davila didn't need me. I just talked my guy Rich Galati at B&G to check it out because he said he'd never been to a golf event. But Marie Davila, Senior Living there at the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the home for so many years, our buddy Red Shandings. Also, Appliance Discounters, real simple. Go online, theappliancediscounters.com.
There's a few things I need to ask you, though, before we say goodbye.
And, candidly.
And, of course, we're brought to you by STLTaxLawyer.com, and that's Mark Milton, IRS Problems. Visit STLTaxLawyer.com. I'm curious about, in terms of running a news station or a head of a sports department, when a guy is doing 700 like he is now, is this become newsworthy in terms of ahead of other what would be non-sports stories? Are you guys saying, what are the angles that we can find out more about Albert Pujols? I mean, you did it for 11 years, so what else can you do on Albert? So what is that like from that perspective of covering that and this where non-news or non-sports people become all of a sudden the sports people and saying, no, we need to have every possible angle we can find on this?
Yeah, I think candidly, and that's I've overused that word today, I think it can be a little exhausting because you and I know in the sports world, you know, Albert's not going to talk every day. And he doesn't know if he's hitting a home run. I prefer to cover it big time when it happens. It's really hard in advance to say, Albert's here tonight, and by golly, he might just hit one. I mean,
yeah.
It's sort of hard to get that. Even Adam Wainwright last week was saying, well, we tied the record. That's great. Let's talk about it when we break the record. So you're there on a Tuesday. Adam Wainwright's in the clubhouse. Do you go over to him and say, hey, everyone's excited about tomorrow? Probably would say, well, let's talk after I break the record.
Right.
You know, and there's some of that with the news coverage because it's in anticipation as opposed to it just happened. But they're certainly in demand. I was joking that our Fox 2 News is coverage you can count on, but I said it's Pujols coverage you can count. And I've been starting to say that on the air. But you look for other connections to it. Our ticket sales spiking because there's this chase for 700.
Do you put a reporter out in left field?
You mean on the field? Like
not
you know,
on the field, but in the bleachers or in Big Mac Land or something
like
that?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, in pursuit of the ball in the winter.
So I
don't know if we can. That's more like the Cat's domain.
Well, I saw a story.
What do we got, Jimmy?
Hey, Cat. Jimmy, what do you got? So I saw a story that said, if he gets to 700, that ball is valued at least a minimum $500,000 to $750,000.
We did that story with Dick Zitzman, your friend from Stan the Man Inc. So on Monday, you were asking, you know, how do you cover this? Well, when they say, what do we have today? And I said, well, the team's off. They're not playing. I said, I am interested in the memorabilia aspect to this. So Dick Zitzman, that's his whole world.
Yeah.
Autograph shows, memorabilia. He said there's a couple things going on. He said, sports memorabilia right now is red hot. It's just, for whatever reason, it's peaking. Albert Pujols, he said, doesn't sign a lot, hasn't historically, doesn't do autograph shows, isn't out at a lot of public events. Even those folks at Fenway got his autograph. That's somewhat rare.
Yeah.
So he said anything autographed by Albert is really valuable right now, especially with the run that he's on. So I said, what about the ball, 700? He said, my best estimate is it's 500,000 minimum. But I think maybe 750,000 is what he thinks that ball
would get. Okay, that's where I saw it, I
guess.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, how about the ball that he gave back to the fans in Pittsburgh. 697. It did pass A-Rod.
What if it's his last home run?
Ooh, that's a great point. I didn't even think of that.
Right.
But he said that ball is worth minimum $200,000.
Is that right?
And I said, what about...
Wow.
Albert told him to keep it. He didn't say what they had to do with it. I mean, they've got a... He said, I guarantee... He said, and I know their names were in the paper and all of that. He said, I guarantee...
They're getting called.
He goes, I know guys in the business. I guarantee they've already been called and saying, do you want to sell it? Do you want to sell it? And if I'm them, say, no, I want to keep it. Fine, whatever. Just wait and see what happens. Like, to your point, maybe it's the last one. Wasn't that the Tom Brady?
Yeah, somebody, with the ball.
Yeah, and then it was the last one he ever threw, and then all of a sudden he came back. Like, wah, wah, wah,
yeah,
wah, you know.
That's tough.
But there's so many different aspects to it. You know, memorabilia is an angle, ticket sales, just fan excitement. Where are you from? And when they say, well, and Dan made us. He's been saying on the broadcast, get here. Get here now. And
I have said that a lot.
But people are now commenting, I think, even in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Said, hey, we came from North Carolina or wherever. I think that's a fun story for our news reporters to catch people and say, where are you from? And I think people were saying last night they came from, maybe it was the pregame. That one guy was talking to people at Ballpark Village, Todd, and they said, oh, I'm from Des Moines. And that's a Tuesday night, and people are showing up.
Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert, and visit Ryan Kelly, thehomeloanexpert.com. Looking for home improvements, he'll get you a cash-out refi, minimum $54,000. That's Ryan Kelly, thehomeloanexpert.com. I'll wrap it up with this. If you caught that ball, if you caught 700, what would you do?
I don't think I would give it back. I mean, I think I'd be lying.
Really?
I think I'd be lying if I said that. Yeah, I think I maybe I would like sell it, and then I'd say, but I'm going to take a chunk of that and give it to charity. Does everybody feel better about that? I don't know. I guess I'd also say, what's the offer? Because if they say, hey, free nachos for next season, I'd be like, oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I don't know. And it'll probably be, if it happens on the road, then those people don't care at all. You know, they
could be a Cardinal fan on the road.
It could be, but I think if you're a St. Louis person and you get it, you are subject to more scrutiny for sure. If you're some California fan that got it, all right, man, I'm going to sell it. And
what do you think the – I was thinking about this. We were in Pittsburgh, obviously, over the weekend. I'll wrap it up with this. But so, you know, Pittsburgh –
Dan's got to go because he needs to get a new credential.
Well,
or he won't be in the booth tonight.
Pittsburgh
I want Jimmy on the call. Like, there it goes, big fly, Albert, my buddy.
I helped him. So do you want...
And I love Jimmy. I wish he won't even listen to this, will he?
No.
0% chance.
So we're in Pittsburgh, great sports town, great sports fans, but now this is their time when you have football going on with Pitt, you got the Steelers, you got high school football, which is massive in Pennsylvania, and you got the Penguins firing up. And obviously... the Pirates are the Pirates. They're just not very good right now and rebuild again. What do you think those last 3 days of the regular season are going to look like, fan perspective? And it's weekday, so I don't know how many fans will get out of work and go to Pittsburgh for a three-day trip or something.
Are those all-day games? Or
I don't think so. I think the last one is.
So it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So they're weekdays.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you got to – I think the last day, everybody starts at the same time. Major League Baseball instituted that in case there was a race and not to have a competitive advantage. So everybody – you know, if you had to start your number one to win, you know, you go into the playoffs minus your number one, that kind of thing. But – I am fascinated to see what kind of fan turnout will be for those three games.
Are people buying tickets now? Maybe even Pittsburgh people kind of.
What if he's not at 700 too? I mean,
well, if he's sitting at 699, I bet you people are buying tickets that are in the Pittsburgh area, saying, "I'm just going to hold on to these in case they have some value." Because you can probably get a deal now, maybe not. And then Cardinal fans that maybe are in that area, I bet you're buying tickets for that final series.
I think so.
Just because there's no guarantee he does it before then or noon, but if he hasn't hit 700 before he gets to PNC, I will triple guarantee you he will get it. He's always crushed that park.
I think he's had 34 home runs now.
Always crushed that park.
It's amazing.
Fun. Dan, so much fun. Great to have you on the show. Good luck
Thanks,
with the
buddy.
Credential.
Thank you. I need help. And this is a good talk.
Great talk.